speak. Yeah, Ron has five. Ron has 6 minutes.
Thank you, Mike. Yes. They all just skip it, Gooey. Nah. You ain't getting off that easy. I appreciate that, and I appreciate all that hard work with Tony and Roger. I'm sure Mike was over here going, hey, you guys need to do this and put this over here. But no, in all seriousness, I want to say to Mike and Dee how much we appreciate you guys putting this on. How big a deal it really is. Let's give a hand. Yeah. I don't want his head to get too big, but they do a really good job. They did an awesome job. And Forrest, I was up here wondering, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? Well, you can tell the guys that do this for a living. He came up here, and you got a clicker to change the... I mean, thank you, Forrest. I don't know. He amazed me in how quickly he had me ready to go here. This is going to be a little different for me. I haven't done PowerPoint presentations very often. We have to do some at work. So I get a little practice there. And at the end of this, I got a short video, like 5 minutes long, that I think will kind of recap what I'm going to talk about. And it'll give you an overview. Before we get into that and what I'm going to do as a study, I wanted to mention Ephesians 4:30. Somebody got that? Read it for me. I think Bob's already read it, but I want to read it again. Ephesians 4:30. Then I got a question for you, because I was sitting there thinking about this a few minutes ago. Can everybody hear me all right? Yeah. Normally my big old southern mouth, as Mikey so kindly reminds me of sometimes, it carries pretty good. My voice and his voice tend to carry really, really good. So sometimes I need a mic, sometimes I don't. Somebody got Ephesians, Chip, read for me.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now I looked that word up, and it means to distress, to upset, things along those lines. Don't distress the Holy Spirit. And this is free. I'm not going to charge you anything for this. This doesn't come with a presentation. This is just something that popped in my mind a few minutes ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's something like that. I mean, that's, go figure. But if you can grieve that Holy Spirit, is it watching you all the time? You ever think about that? If you can grieve the Holy Spirit at any moment, how often are you being watched? That just hit me. Because, you know, can I sneak back behind the screen and grieve the Holy Spirit without being seen? Probably not. Do I catch the Holy Spirit off guard at any moment?
No.
Probably not. You see my point? That Spirit is with us all. It's here right now. I've already seen it and felt it with the guys that have spoken already, and the love and the fellowship that I've seen here from the folks that come every year and from some of the new ones that are here for the first time. And I wanted to bring that out, tell you how much it means to me to see those that are always here, and also to see some new faces that are here. That's a blessing. It's a huge blessing. And I wanted to bring that out. Think about that Spirit. And that would be something for us to think about, I think, as we live our lives, if I'm not mistaken. Because I believe at any moment we could grieve that Holy Spirit. And I think that tells us a lot about what God is doing in our lives with that Holy Spirit. Doesn't it? It does to me. There's a reason Paul put that in there, and I believe that's what it is. So just think about that. Something to think about. And I'm going to give you a few other things to think about, too. My study's going to be a little different. Most of the guys, or a lot of the guys have been here. I've talked about the mystery, which I'm glad that we're getting that message out. In thinking about what I was going to do this year, I knew that there would be a group of people, or at least most of the people here, would know and understand what the mystery is. And I'm not taking anything away from the mystery, but what I want to do today is I want to present something a little different on a little different subject to enhance your understanding of the Creator and what He's done in creation. Within creation. And we're going to use a couple of verses in Romans as our central text. And I hope that what I've got will make you think a little bit. And it'll make you think a little differently as you go through your daily lives. That's my goal. I think every teacher should have a goal with whatever it is he's trying to teach. Because if you leave here after I waste an hour of your life, or maybe 2 hours. Nah. I got a feeling I'll get pelted with the rolls or whatever it is from the kitchen if I take 2 hours. But you don't want me to waste that much of your life, because what you're doing is trading that much of your life for something that I've got to say. And that means a little bit. That means something to me. So before we get going here too much, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Tony, if you would, open for us with prayer if you don't mind.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and for what all you're going to do. Lord, we ask that you be with Ronnie as he delivers the message, that it be edifying to the body of Christ, and that we as hearers can take this and absorb it in and may help someone else come to know a smaller portion of your truth. Lord, we thank you again for all these things, and especially for that, Lord, that you give for us on that tree. For it's in Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Forrest, tell us what percentage of it is that people learn from lecture, and then the percentage that people learn from audio visual. Wasn't, isn't there a big difference in what you retain and remember?
10% of what you hear, 20% of what you see and hear, and 80% of what you do.
Wow. So you guys are obligated to haul away at least 20% of what I'm going to say, because you're going to see it and you're going to hear it. Can't do it, but, you know, if we could, we would. I want to give everybody a big hello from the folks in South Carolina that couldn't join us. And they ask that you would keep a lot of them in your prayers. They pray for you guys. And I'm sure that you pray for Mom and Dad and my kids and everybody else that's down there that's in our group. They certainly send their wishes, their well wishes. They send their hellos and their love to all you guys, and I'm sure if they love them, if they could be here, they would, but it just didn't work out that way. So, also thanks again to Mikey and Dee for putting this on, and, for the invitation and for the opportunity. I also wanted to remind everybody about our website and recordings, and also about the TFT website. I was pleased to no end the night that Val sent that email out about their website being up and going. And that was a big blessing to me, and I think it was probably to everybody in this room. And I'd like to give Val a big round of hand for that. And, you know, this encouragement is, people like encouragement. And the scripture says that we should encourage one another. And Chip for what he does with our website, because I know I couldn't do it. And I certainly couldn't do it without him, and he's a huge part of our life, and I appreciate him and all that he does. So let's give him a hand too. So there. Now that everybody's been properly thanked. Yeah. Oh, certainly. For the cooks. How could I forget the cooks? And seen a lot of heads back there too. Sometimes I couldn't see the kitchen for the cooks. And that's a good thing. The way we eat, that's a good thing. Who was it a while ago that asked me if I knew the definition of fellowship? And it had something to do with food. I was standing in line and somebody said, you know what fellowship is? And I said, I don't know, but it's got to have something to do with food. And they said, yeah, you're right. But anyway, I hope this is a blessing to you. I want to give you a warning note before we get started. A lot of what I'm going to talk about is creation. And I don't want anybody to walk away from here thinking that Ronnie McCurry has creation and creator mixed up. Because what we're going to look at is how you can see the handiwork of the creator in creation. And we're going to review the scripture that makes it painfully clear that you should be able to do that. You can see the creator in creation. And I believe it thoroughly debunks all the evolutionary theories, all the brainiacs, all the Darwinists. I believe it totally blows them out of the water, and what I'm going to show you just scratches the surface a little bit. It doesn't even get into the deep things. As I began to dig into this subject a little bit, I became more and more and more amazed at what I saw. And what I'm going to bring you is going to be an extremely small percentage of what I saw, because time just doesn't allow. Unless you guys want to stay till midnight. In which case, the food may be a little cold. But I'm gonna call this the fingerprints of God. For lack of a better title. And I think it's gonna be applicable, and I think it's gonna be appropriate when we get to the end of it. You'll understand what I mean by that. So, let's go. Nice scene, right? We have all done it. Well, the first question you should have is, what is it we did? We have done it. As we go about our lives, we drive or we walk by the many wonders of God and never even realize or appreciate it. Did you know that? I do it. I got to thinking about this. I do it every day. You walk by something that should stop you in your tracks, and make you think. And I do it, we all do it, everybody does it. The purpose of what I'm doing here is to make you take that stop, to make you stop and think. Okay? Well, you say, well, he's lost his mind now. What's that? Everybody knows who this guy is, right?
Yeah.
He signed some pretty important documents, didn't he? And any time, even today, that somebody signs their name, they say, well, put your John Hancock on that. And the point I'm trying to make is this. You recognize this signature. Everybody does. Everybody knows it. But do you recognize God's signature in His creation that's all around us? And I gotta admit that a lot of times I don't. Hopefully I'm gonna change that, because we live in this creation. This is the place that God has prepared for us. This is where we exist. If we try to go under the water, we can't make it. If we try to go into space, we can't make it unless we take our food and our water and everything with us. So our daily lives, as we live our lives, we're locked in this boat, if you think about it. And there's no way to deny that that's a large part of our life. You're going to spend your life in this boat. So do you recognize God's signature in His creation that's all around us? I want you to consider, I got some images that I want to show you. And I want you to consider the design and the patterns in the world that we live in. protect it. One of my wife's favorite flowers, the calla lily. Now what I want you to understand about this thing, you see this spiral? The shape of this thing is absolutely amazing if you look at it. And some of these things may seem kind of trivial. You're like, well, so it's a spiral, it's a flower, it's got petals, what's the big deal? How many flowers have you made lately? God made a bunch of them. And they come up every year, a lot of them replenish themselves. That's what I want you to consider. Look at these things. This is the claret cup cactus. Barney and Kelly probably seen a few of these. This is the grand lobelia plant. Now look at this. You see this spiral pattern? Anybody notice that? You see how these things spiral out of the center? That is significant. Believe it or not, that's significant. And we'll get into that a little later in the study. This thing amazed me thoroughly. The hairpin maxilla. You see the pattern in that thing? You see how the rows go up and down? You couldn't design this any more beautiful if you tried. I don't know anybody that could. Those are beautiful. The Picotee pansies, check this out. Everybody knows what the cactus looks like, but do you see the pattern? What I want you to bear down on is the repetition of the pattern that you see in these plants. I want you to think about it in your mind, in your brain. We're not worshiping creation. We're understanding what God has touched in making creation. And that's what I want you to remember as we go through this. And one of my favorites, the sunflower. Look at this. You see the spirals? Is that significant? We'll see a little later that it's pretty significant. It's there for a reason. It's there because of intelligent design. It's not there by accident. It didn't evolve to be this way. It's the way that the Creator made it. This is the plant kingdom, by the way. I got a few more shots of the plant kingdom. You see a spiral or two in there? Look at that. That's a sunflower seed head. Look at that. You see the spirals? Do you see the spirals going in both directions? Isn't that something? These kind of captivated me to the point where I had to pull in several images to show you. You see the spirals here? See the spirals of the seeds? Now, we had a dove field this past year, and a buddy of mine that plants a dove field, he had tons of these things. And they are absolutely gorgeous. It looks a lot like the final slide that I've got in the presentation here. You see the spirals? There's a couple of examples of beautiful creation. And that's kind of what Gary's field looked like this year. It's funny, you know, these stupid plants that evolve, they follow the sun too. Just like they know what to do. The animal kingdom has beauty and creation in it. Look at the colors on these things. They blew my mind as I looked. I had no idea, and I'm just throwing up a few and scratching the surface on some of these things. But does that look like it had no intelligence to do with it whatsoever? Those are gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous. And I don't know the names of all these butterflies. This particular slide is the close-up of a butterfly's wings. Did you know that he has scales on his wings? Have you ever held a butterfly and the stuff come off on your fingers? How fragile and delicate it is. You can just touch his wings. If you handle a butterfly's wings too much, he won't be able to fly. He loses all the scales. You can see them in this, you can see them in the magnification here. You can, especially here, you can see all the individual little scales that make up the colors in his wings. Just accident, right? No intelligent design there. This is a close-up magnification of his wing. Each one of those is a little individual scale, like a tile on a floor. Then in the animal kingdom, these are the spots on a giraffe. And I, if I hadn't had the names of these images to show me what they were, I would never have known what they were just looking at a close-up. You see the pattern in that? That's a jaguar's coat. Now, not the car, of course. I like my jaguar's metallic silver. And then this is the pufferfish eye. Just one of them. Not both of them. He's got two, but I only got the image of one. Again, in the animal kingdom, everybody knows what a zebra looks like. They've always kind of amazed me just watching them on Wild Kingdom. You see the point I'm driving at? Hopefully you're getting it. I think you are. These are truly amazing. Did you know that these snowflakes, if allowed to form in the water vapor that's in the upper atmosphere, they produce these beautiful designs all by accident? Not true, is it? You gotta have a magnifying glass and some special equipment to get pictures of these things. Did you know there are websites that have nothing but snowflake pictures on them? I found that out doing this study. And now I know why. They're pretty interesting. They've got the fingerprints of God stamped in. This is just water that turns from liquid to a solid. And they're so microscopic that you can't even see most of them. And they're never a problem unless they pile up, what, about 4 feet deep, Mike, right?
No problem.
Mike has, this is one of Mike's particular favorite subjects. He has a lot of experience with these little critters. Look at them. And did you notice something about numbers in Scripture? They typically have either 6 or 12 points or sides. Have you picked up on that as we've been going through them? There may be a 12-pointed one there. Absolutely. And different conditions of the atmosphere create different shapes and sizes of snowflakes. I didn't know that. This magnification of one really caught my eye. Look at the detail. The intricate detail that's in that. It's incredible. Now, moving on from the animal and the ice kingdom, I want you to look at for a second at the complexity of life itself. You know what the scripture has to say about life, talking of Christ. In him was life. Everybody knows what this is, right? Thanks to some scientists back in the 50s. That is a double helix DNA molecule. I think this is kind of a enhanced photograph. This just happened, right? Two helixes, spirals, and even the length and the diameter of the helix has significance if you dig into it. I don't have time to get into all the little details. And I'm certainly not going to give you the chemistry lesson that goes with the DNA. Remember what God said? He said, let us create man in piece of artwork is what you are. Fingerprints all over, right?
Right.
I think so. Look at this. The molecule of life. Trillions of cells. Each cell has 46 human chromosomes. 2 meters of DNA. 3 billion DNA subunits. And you can see the breakdown and the double helix as it goes across. The acid connectors, I mean the amino acid sugar connectors that go between the two helixes. There's no design there, is it? You know, when I design something, I'm usually pretty proud of it because it has order. It has reason. It has significance. It's not just chaotic stuff thrown together, or at least most of my products aren't. Now, if you talk to Forrest, he might disagree with you. He usually brings me a wheelbarrow full of stuff back that don't work every time I see him. Here's the a little more of the chemistry that goes along with that molecule. Now, I'm not going to stand here and even make a broad attempt to explain this. I found some men that slide kind of tells it. You got the pyrimidines and the thymines and the cytosines. And those are the connectors that go between those two helixes. It amazes me because that's what we are. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 1:19. Actually, turn to 1:16. I want to do a quick breakdown of the Greek. I want to read Romans. Let's read Romans 1:16 through. Let's read Romans 1:16 through 20, and then we'll go back and take a harder look at it. Romans 1:16 through 20 says this. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Jason and I were talking about this last night. To the Jew first, but also to the Greek, he says. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Then Paul changes gears. And he says this in 18. He says, "For the wrath of God, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And that "hold" there in the Greek means suppress. Against men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And look at this in 19. 19 and 20 is what I want you to see especially. Those are the verses we're going to break down. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Huh? What did you say? What did he just say? Let's break it down a little bit. Let's bear down on verses 19 and 20. In verse 19, that word "known" there in the Greek is gnostos, and it means to acquire knowledge of or to learn. It means to get to learn, to come to know, because that which may be learned of God, basically, is what it's saying. The word "manifest," and I got to hurry on. The word "manifest" is the Greek form phaneros, or phaneros. And it means visible, open to sight. So that which may be known of God is open to sight within them. That in there is within. It's the Greek form en, in. And it oftentimes means within. Hath showed. It, again, it's the Greek phaneroo, which means to manifestly declare. To manifestly declare, to lay it out there. To openly declare. Then let's move to verse 20. For. The word for in verse 20, for the invisible things, is the Greek form gar, G-A-R. Or because that. If you want a little better translation of it. Because that. Invisible things. Because that, the invisible things, the eretos, which means unseen or hidden things. Didn't we just go over a few things that, for the most part, a lot of times are unseen, hidden? Can you pick up a snowflake and know what it looks like? Not usually, unless you're pretty quick. Or it's awful cold outside. How many of you have ever seen a real DNA molecule? I haven't. Not a real one. The invisible things. There are things in this world that we can see, and there are things in this world that we cannot see. Doesn't mean they're not there. You're breathing in a room full of stuff that you can't see. But now if you try to design an evaporative cooler that has to move 700 cubic feet of it in a certain amount of time, it'll certainly make your life pretty rough if you can't do it. That's work, Joe, in case you didn't get it. Air can be a problem if you try to move a large amount of it very quickly. The invisible things, we got a room full of them. We're breathing them. The word creation in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation, the tissus of the world in the Greek, which means the original formation. The original formation of the cosmos. I appreciated Stefan's definitions and the way he got into the word cosmos. That's exactly the way I see it. It can have a very broad meaning. It can have a very narrow meaning. And I appreciated that. The invisible things of him from the original formation of the cosmos are clearly seen, being understood. Noeo in the Greek. And it means comprehended or heeded. You comprehend it and you heed that it's there. You can understand it. You get it. Which is what I want you to do when I'm done. I want you to get it. By the things, he says, by the things that are made. That term is the Greek poema. Or poema. And it means a product or workmanship of something that you make. It's God's product. It's what he made. We read that not only here, but in many other scriptures. And I'm going to go over a few of them here in just a minute. So how far do we get? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even, you see that word, even? Even his eternal. Eternal. This is one of the words in the scripture that you really have to be careful with. And boy, did this one throw me for a loop when I saw what it meant. The word eternal here is actually the Greek form eidos. Eidios. I'm sorry. Eidios. A-I-D-I-O-S. It's only used twice. One of them is here in Romans. And listen to what this means. Unseen or hidden. Always watch the word eternal because it'll give you a surprise every time. So what it literally says, even his hidden power, his unseen power. Are you with me? You see what I mean? His unseen power and his Godhead, the deity. Power there is dunamis, by the way. We have dunamis coach in the back. I know why he chose that name in the panel talk. That's a good one. It means inherent power that regenerates itself. Dunamis. His eternal or hidden power and his deity. So that they are anapologetos, indefensible. Now, if I commit a crime and I go into court and I'm indefensible, what kind of chance do you think I've got? Not too good. If I go into court and I'm indefensible, they're going to try to defend me anyway. But probably not going to go too good for me. Not going to be a good day at court. That's what that word means. Huh?
Not if you're honest.
Yeah, exactly. Not going to be a good day for me. So, I said all that to say this. Here's the retranslated, closer to the Koine Greek version of the same two verses. Because that which may be learned of God is open to sight within them. For God manifestly declares it unto them. Because that the invisible things of him, since the original formation of the world, are clearly seen, being comprehended by his workmanship, his unseen miraculous power and deity, to the end that they exist inexcusable. Wow. You mean that a man should be able just to see God in creation, and that makes him without excuse? Yes, that's what I mean. And Ronnie did say it. You can get upset with me if you would like. I don't think anybody here will. But that's what that means. That blew me away when I read it. You mean creation has such a stamp, a fingerprint of God in it, that I should be able just to walk around and see God in it? Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's the whole message that I've got in a nutshell. And I didn't say it, said in Romans. Let's look at another couple of verses, and then I'm going to wrap this thing up. Turn with me to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 16 through 17. You've heard me expound on these before, some of my favorite verses. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. You see that? All things, whether they be in heaven or whether they be in earth. Visible and invisible. We covered that. We've been through that. Romans 1, 20. Whether they be thrones, doesn't matter how big they are, dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. It's not for us. Why were all things created? By him, for him. We just get to enjoy it out of his grace. Isn't that something? Should we praise him for it? Yes. And he is before all things, and by him all things cohere. In the Greek, that word cohere means stick together. He literally is that invisible force, I believe, at the root of every atom and everything in every part of our universe that holds it together. Without Christ in creation, it blows apart. It's chaos. God is the order. No, go ahead, Tom.
It's the God particle.
Exactly. It's the part of God that he bestowed upon creation. Now, do we worship that creation? No. Paul very specifically in this same chapter in the book of Romans warns us against that. And we're also warned in Colossians against the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, which are created beings. You do not worship creation. That's part of the problem. That was the problem the Old Testament characters had. Idols. We still got idol worship today. We got a show named American Idol. Go figure. Right here in America. Doesn't surprise me. Throw him in Isaiah 45. I got to hurry on because I know you guys are hungry. Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Let's read 16 through 19. I've always loved these verses too. And I'm just scratching the surface of the verses that refer to the creation and what God has done within it. Isaiah 45, 16 says, "They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end." Then he says this, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord." Amen and amen. He formed it to be inhabited. "I am the Lord," he says, "and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." Whoa. I love it when he tells it like it is. And that's what the scripture does. It tells it like it is. So, it's very apparent that God's fingerprints are indelibly stamped into his creation from the smallest molecular level all the way to the largest galaxy. I want to show you one more example of God's fingerprints in his creation. This really blew my mind. How many of you have ever heard of this? Raise your hand if you've heard of the Fibonacci sequence. Wow. Well, Chip cheated. Chip cheated. This thing is really interesting. It's a series of numbers. And you get it. You start at zero. You add a one. Then you add the one and the zero right here. Start with zero, add one. If you add these two, you get this one. If you add these two, you get this one. If you add these two, you get this one, and so on. You see, it's complicated. It's really hard to get. Now, you say, well, big deal. Big deal. What does that mean? So you can add. Can you subtract and stand on one leg? You know. But this sequence has within it, I believe, some of these fingerprints of God, and I'll show you why. Now, this is one of those things that's sort of like the structure in the scripture. I love the parts in the companion Bible that show me the structure in the scripture. Why is that? Because scripture has structure. And the parts of scripture that don't have structure, most of it is in Luke 16 where Christ is quoting the Pharisees. Did you know that? Scripture has structure. Anytime that it's real scripture, you look. And this structure wasn't added in there, it was just discovered. Just like this was discovered. This always existed. The structure in the scripture has always been there. The sequence has always been there. It just took a sharp guy to come along. And I think it may have been discovered long before Fibonacci came along. Or Fibonacci. I keep saying it wrong. It may have been discovered long before Fibonacci came along, but he gets credit for it. He was an Italian mathematician. And he gets credit for the sequence. Well, what's significant about this sequence? The spiral, for one thing, is significant about this sequence. You see the ones right here? The two ones make a two. The three and two make a five. The five and the three make an eight. The eight and the five make a 13. And they keep making the square bigger. And they take the curve and connect the corners. Well, guess what happens when you do that? You get a spiral. Well, what's the big deal about a spiral? If you take the numbers and lay them out, you can make the spirals big and go around the world. If you keep adding the numbers together. Anything significant about a spiral you see there? Check this out. Regular old pine cone. You probably step on them, fluff them off your car. If you're a kid, you throw them and hit your brother in the forehead. You get in a lot of trouble. Because it leaves a really nice pattern in there, you know, if you hit him just right. Fibonacci pattern in the forehead, yeah. Troy can tell you all about that. Ever see a spiral?
Yeah.
What about that? A little Nautilus ship? Nice. It's all by accident, right? I wanted to... Let's go on through this. Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Can any of us? No. One day we will be part of his body, as our hope is promised. But when David wrote this, that wasn't in play. That hadn't been offered yet. Had not been offered at that point. I want to point out too, before we watch the quick video, that God in his wisdom has manifested himself to mankind in many ways. One is the witness of the stars. Lots of studies about that. Marty and I were talking about that the last couple of weeks. And I had started taking Oscar's study on this and trying to make a video out of it. And when I went back and looked on my old computer, I lost all that. But I can redo it. The stars, the witness of the stars, the Maseroth. This is uncorruptible and unchangeable. Check it out in Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Night after night, they preach. So the next time you walk out, you look up at the stars, you think about what Ronnie said. Okay? God has also spoken in times past, as it says in Hebrews 1, by the prophets. They spoke to Israel. The Old Testament prophets. God has spoken the most important way, I believe, by his Son. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin, and paid the ultimate price for us. And the final way is by the things God has manifested himself in the things that were made, that are all around us, that oftentimes we just miss. Now, if you'll allow me 5 more minutes, praise God for his majesty. Let me get this going. We'll check this out and then we'll be done. Yeah, I think so. Somebody already commented about my...
Every day we see patterns in the world around us. They testify to the careful design and hard work that produced them. But what about the patterns that are not made by man, but appear in the natural world? What do they reveal? Consider the snowflake. These tiny crystals are formed when water vapor in a cloud condenses directly into ice. As the crystals grow, delicate and beautiful patterns emerge. Look more closely at the pattern within a single snowflake. The crystalline arms branch, then branch again and again at increasingly smaller sizes. Mathematicians studying this concept of self-similarity use the term fractal to describe a shape that has a consistent, repeated pattern at multiple scales. Where else can fractal patterns be seen in the natural world? Trees can demonstrate a degree of self-similarity. The trunk splits into limbs, which split into branches, then twigs, and so on. We see a similar type of fractal pattern in the leaves of a fern. A different type of pattern, but one that is also a fractal, can be seen in the shell of the chambered nautilus. As it grows, the nautilus builds new, larger chambers and seals off the older, smaller ones that it no longer needs. The result is a spiral that is fractal in nature, maintaining a similar shape as it increases in size. Natural spiral patterns of this type can be observed in many places, from the cloud formations of a hurricane to tiny shells on the beach, from the arrangement of the stars in a galaxy to the seeds on a sunflower head. What causes these spiral patterns? In the case of a sunflower, it has to do with the specific angle at which new plant growths form. This angle, approximately 137.5 degrees, is sometimes called the golden angle. It results in an ideally compact arrangement with no wasted space and creates distinct spiral patterns. If the sunflower grew not at the golden angle, but at a different angle, for example, 140 degrees, we would see radial arms instead, and the seed arrangement would not be as efficient. As we look even closer, we can discern a fascinating mathematical relationship between this golden angle and a series of numbers called the Fibonacci sequence. In this progression, each number is determined by adding the previous two numbers together. Interestingly, these Fibonacci numbers can often be observed in plants. This sunflower has 34 spirals in one direction and 55 going the other way. Both of these numbers are in the Fibonacci sequence. A pineapple will often have 8 or 13 spirals. Flowers with a spiral growth pattern tend to have a Fibonacci number of petals. Why are these numbers significant? As the Fibonacci sequence progresses, the relationship between successive numbers comes closer and closer to defining the exact value of the golden angle. This intriguing mathematical relationship between the golden angle of plant growth and the number of resulting spirals reminds us that the patterns we see in the natural world are not merely accidental. Each one is a reflection of order and careful design. As we take time to examine these patterns more closely, we are filled with a sense of wonder at the workmanship of their designer, Jehovah God. For his invisible qualities are clearly seen from the world's creation onward, because they are perceived by the things made.
Enough said. Thank you.